Well, today we're going to continue our study on how to build a family. I thought it was over last week, and I had fully intended to talk about Thanksgiving and what that really means in our life, but I really felt the Lord impressed on me to go a little different direction with how to build a family. And today, as I mentioned, we're going to look at this subject from just a little bit different angle, and it's going to be how do you rebuild a family? You know, because sometimes, you know, we look at, now most of us would rather work on new construction, anybody's done construction, because remodel is really messy, you know, and sometimes families, we can get really messy, can't we? You know, some of the things that we deal with. And, you know, I've found out, and it's something that I forget, but I have to continually remind myself, is that all families and all relationships especially need a little bit of maintenance. You know, we just can't take them for granted. And perhaps you're here today, and maybe your family just needs a few modifications. Or maybe you're here today, and you maybe live in a totally dysfunctional family. You know, so hopefully, we're going to maybe try to address these things. And I want to remind us that whether we're in either of these situations, there's always hope. Because people can always change, because Jesus is in the life-changing business. Amen? All right, the scripture we're going to look at right now is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the anointing today. We take authority over any disruption or distraction, any attack from Satan from trying to steal the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We just yield to your leadership right now. We just thank you. We're going to flow with you, and we thank you, Lord. We just want to glorify you. I yield to that gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and again, for the gifts to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, the word I want to kind of key on here a little bit is the word unwholesome. The word unwholesome. And what that's talking about is bad, rotten, or putrid. Now you could say, how could something like that ever come out of my mouth? But it does sometimes, doesn't it? I'm not talking about cussing here right now, although that could probably fall into these lines a little bit. I'm just talking about sometimes those negative comments because, you know, we're going to look today at the area of communication issues. Communication issues. You know, lines sometimes can get crossed from time to time, and sometimes a line can get totally broken where two people don't even communicate anymore. They don't even want to talk anymore about it. You know, what happens usually when words, or shall we say bad words, are spoken, these rotten words, what I found out is sometimes feelings can get hurt, and when that happens, it really stirs up a lot of emotions, and they start to run in real high. And how about you, but I, you know, we've all said something we didn't really mean. Or maybe we meant it, we just didn't want it, we don't want to mean it. You know what I mean? A lot of means right there, ain't they? Because sometimes we can get mean, can't we? There's another mean. So, you know, a lot of things we need to deal with. So what we need to do is learn how, in a family or in any relational situation, that we can defuse this bomb. Because really, sometimes it's like a bomb goes off. When you explode and you just say something, and it's out there. So we're going to look at a few little concepts today on just how you and I can be able to fix these situations. Number one is a common one that I really try to encourage people to think about is don't run. Don't run. This is something that's common that people do. You know, a lot of people run from the problems, but we just don't want to run from our problems because they just won't go away. You know, I try to tell people that problem's going to follow you. So what they do is they pick up and they move to another geographical location, maybe in another relationship, maybe another church, maybe another town. And they think that if they just change their geographical location, that everything's going to be better. But that it doesn't work that way because there's a devil in every town. Amen? There is. And he's going to try to chip away, and he's going to try to work on our weak areas of our life, those little chinks in our armor, those doors or those windows that we leave open, so that he can come in. So we need to be able to be aware that we don't need to run from it. We need to face these problems. Yes, it's painful. How many has ever had a splinter? And that splinter hurts, but then all of a sudden it stopped hurting. It only hurts if you touch it. You bump it on something. So really, a lot of people are willing to go through life with that splinter, and they stay away from everybody. You're not going to touch my owie. Right? Amen. Now, it hurts when you get the tweezers out, or maybe if it's deep, you got to go with a needle and go after that thing. You know, dig it out. It hurts for a little bit, but after that, once it heals all up, anybody can touch that owie. It'll never hurt again. Never hurt again. And see, that's how we got to look at the problems that we have in life, because, you know, broken families are a byproduct of broken relationships. And that's something that we have to remember. You know, family problems date back to Cain and Abel. Has anybody ever here ever killed their brother or sister? Nobody has. Good. So we're a little better off than them guys. Has anybody here ever wanted to? Don't raise your hand, right? We've all been there, haven't we? We just didn't want to go to jail bad enough. So usually what causes you and I to run is because of those unresolved issues or hurt feelings. That's what causes us to abandon ship or evacuate, you know. Get out of here. I got to go. You know, I'm just going to go over and get a fresh start. I just can't deal with this no more. Well, lo and behold, it might be a month. It might be 6 months. You might get lucky. It might be a year, but I doubt it. But it's going to come back. Yeah. Same old thing, popping its ugly head up again, and then we have to deal with it. So as we know that moving doesn't help, we're going to have to really figure out what we need to do, because that problem's going to keep popping its ugly head up until we decide to cut it off. Now, sometimes, you know, families, if we all remember and just think of these things, we have those special moments, and we forget about those special things. You know, sometimes when I talk to somebody in counseling, you know, and they're sitting there, and you can tell, you know, I'm not saying they hate each other, but it kind of looks like it. It looks like they don't like each other no more. But yet, maybe, you know, I've been through them, and I've watched them, observed them from a distance, or maybe I even did the wedding for them. You know, and at that time, they told me they loved each other. And they said, I know God's put us together, bless God. You know, hey, this is from God, man. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, did we miss God? What? What's changed? Our emotions, because we can't trust them all the time. They lie to us. They tried us to believe the wrong thing. So maybe some of those good memories, you know, hopefully it was your wedding day. That's an awesome memory, isn't it? When you see, you know, men, when you look up and you see that beautiful bride coming down that aisle and she's yours. Or bride, when you turn that corner, you look up and there's that guy standing there waiting for you. Just waiting to build a life with you. That beautiful wedding day. You know, maybe you remember when your child was born, if you have children. You know, that was a special day. You know, most of it was, right? It was a good time. You know, some of it, there's a little pain involved, a little bit of, you know, stress, but then you remember that first day of school. Everybody always takes pictures, first day of school, you know, each year. You know, those are special days, all my little kids growing up, you know. And then you remember that first time they step in the batter's box and they're standing in the right direction this time. Amen? And they're looking at the pitcher and they're saying, come on, you know, pitch it. You know, they may not be up to the plate. Maybe they're, you know, the back line, you know, but at least they're in the square a little bit, right? You know? And they're there, and we remember all those things. But what happens is that when you get mad or when emotions get run high, sometimes we just throw all those good memories away. And we forget about those great things that we've built together, and then we move on. So what we need to do is we need to decide how valuable a relationship is. How valuable is it? What is it that we need to do? Now, maybe you're here today and, you know, I know this is my wife. She wants to be a grandparent. That's her desire. None of her kids are married yet. None of them's really even dating anybody. So it might be a little while off. But, you know, if you desire to be a grandparent and be involved with your grandchildren so you can make an impact or an impartation to their life, then maybe you need to make sure that the relationship with your own kid is intact. Right? You know, and it takes work. You know, there's a lot of days that you guys are living under the same roof, right? All these things are going on, and, you know, people get mad at each other. I know that. But how do we deal with that conflict? How do we deal with that? You know, I remember one time when I was butting heads, especially with one of the boys about some stuff, and I wanted to fix it. It bothered me. You know, because, you know, nobody wants to not have a good relationship with their kids within reason. I don't want to be their buddy. You know, that's not what I'm going for. But yet, I want to have a decent, you know, relationship. So I knew I'd probably messed up over the years, got busy, you know, maybe building this church. That took a lot of time, working 16-hour days and, you know, just lost out on some relationship contact. And, you know, maybe we have two different personalities, you know, which we do. And so it's just not working, you know, the way it needed to be. And it bothered me, so I wanted to fix it. Of course, I went to the Word, you know, because this is important to me. So I found a scripture. It was Malachi 4:6. And I want you to write this down, parents, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with your kids and you want to do it. So I set them down and I opened up the scripture and it says, "He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." I claimed that scripture. I sat down with him and we talked about it. And I says, you know, I know I haven't been perfect. And, you know, and honestly, you haven't been perfect either. But yet I want a relationship. I want to heal this relationship. So I said, let's stand on the Word together a little bit. And it's helped. It's helped. Because it's important to build those family relationships and to make sure that we stand strong. Now, what happens is next, maybe, is the fact that we may have to tear down a wall. Maybe you've been involved in construction, but to me, a wall represents a barrier. You know, a lot of people want to open up their house so it's more free and feeling, so they're just going to tear out this wall. And, you know, some people want to tear out a load-bearing wall, and that's another story in itself, you know what I mean? And that'll bring the house down if they're not careful. Now, when it comes to talking about barriers, I want to just clarify, we need boundaries, but we don't need barriers. Every relationship needs a little bit of boundaries, right? You know, so that it's a successful and it's a healthy relationship on how we can build this. And so you might need to factor in what you need. But what happens is along the time is that you and I make the mistake, and as we go through life, is that we start to build barriers and we're not even aware that we're doing it. We're putting up these barriers and keeping people out, or maybe hemming people in and holding them in bondage. Now, I've been involved in tearing down some walls in my life, and sometimes you never know what you're going to find behind a wall. You know, I've opened up them walls and, you know, the carpenters do it. I'm just kind of there making sure they don't get electrocuted or something, which is kind of fun watching anyway, but anyway in itself. But, you know, you're there and they're tearing stuff apart and all of a sudden, wow, look what they found. You know, some of them find old liquor bottles. Never really have seen them find much money. At least they didn't let on like they found it. They might have put it in their pocket, you know. But what's a common thing behind all the walls is newspaper. Newspaper. Now, you may not know this, but that used to be the insulation back in the day. They would put newspaper back there, and they thought it maybe would break the wind from blowing through the walls. But, you know, that's common why they did that. But, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes old news is what hinders our relationships. Now, I like looking at those old newspapers. You know, they're dated a long time ago. Sometimes they're so faded you can't really see what they say, but you can still kind of read it. And see, what happens is that you and I, we are holding on to old news in our families and in our relationships sometimes because we're holding on to the bad stuff, and that puts up that barrier. I really believe, now some people, I don't believe anybody here would probably purpose to be downright mean or hard to get along with. Everybody here looks pretty friendly today, right? You want to get along. So what happens? Why is it that sometimes we don't get along? Now, it's usually the other person, right? Right? I mean, come on, be honest. It's the other person. It can't be me. But it is sometimes, isn't it? Many times, the walls that come up in our family are because of misunderstandings. It's a misunderstanding. Because what happens is that maybe somebody worded something wrong, or somebody took it wrong. And as they've done that, then they've held on to that hurt and they've held on to that pain, because what happens if you're not aware of these situations, that's why communication is the key to be able to deal with these things and not let them fester and to keep growing. But misunderstandings can turn into an offense, and an offense can turn into unforgiveness, and then that unforgiveness will bring destruction. Amen. It'll bring that division, and then relationships are severed. Now, also, some walls are even built due to insecurity. You know, we all have problems in our childhood, things that we've dealt with. Maybe we don't feel secure in ourselves for some reasons. And that causes us to put up a wall to keep people out, because, you know, if we keep people out, we have this idea that we can never be hurt. And that might be true to some degree. But if you keep people out, we can never be helped or we can never be healed. Because the same thing that hurts us as people is the same thing that can heal us as people. Learning how to relate, learning how to trust, learning how to communicate with each other is going to bring stability, emotional stability to our lives, and help us to walk in a greater level of success in our families. Because that's very important that we do that. So now we're back to communication, is where I wanted to head to. Communication is the key that's going to unlock the door in our lives. Being able to talk properly and learn how to be able to express ourselves and to deal with things. See, there's a difference between a message that is sent and a message that is received. How many of you have ever sent a message to your kids to clean up their room? How many of them never got that message? Most of them, right? Why? They were thinking about something else. I mean, hopefully they weren't just totally rebelling, that sometimes that happens too. But sometimes they're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're wanting to do something else that they want to do. So they unravel the family structure. How many knows that whenever you get into strife, it unravels the family structure? You know, you can walk into a home and sometimes tell if there's strife present. If maybe people aren't getting along, you can kind of sense it in the spiritual realm a little bit. So that's why we got to be careful, and we want to keep our houses a place of worship and a place where God loves to live, so that the presence of God will be there. So we need to be able to learn how to communicate. You know, sometimes if the communication lines are broken, we need to rewire our homes. We need to be able to deal with it, because maybe your wiring in your house is outdated. Now I'm going to a little electrical jargon for you. You know, a lot of times, you know, houses don't have a ground. You know, in the 70s, they came out, I think it was the 70s, they came out with a three-wire system where you got your, you know, make it simple, is black, white, and then you got that little bare wire in there. Well, that bare wire is the ground. That's what keeps you from getting electrocuted really bad. Because what that does is that ground is tied to the metal of an object, and then it goes all the way back to the panel, so that when something, if something goes wrong where the hot wire hits that metal, it'll trip the breaker or blow the fuse. Now, if you don't have the ground and that appliance is sitting on wood, that hot wire can touch the frame, and then you can touch it, but if you touch another thing that's grounded, like the kitchen sink, it can knock you down. Because it's ungrounded. And a lot of times, we need to get back in our communication so that we get grounded on what's really important, so that we learn how to not to be toxic. We don't want toxic communication coming out of our mouth. It takes a little bit of time to try to rewire your mouth, right? Because we get into things. Now, I'm just going to throw this out. If you're in a situation and you really want to try to make this relationship work, you know, if you know, give somebody a little room to grow, right? Now, what I found out in my marriage, bummer, my wife's in here. I like it when she's teaching, that way I can really speak freely. So let me reword this a little bit. No. What happens is that, I kid you not, you know, I'm not the easiest person to live with. I know that. You know, I'm kind of high strung and I'm driven. You know, and things like this, and I like to get stuff done. And anyway, just when I thought I was kind of growing, I mean, I'm driving down, I'm heading home, and I think, wow, I'm kind of growing in this area. I've really tried to work on this, you know, because I know I've failed my family, I've failed my wife in this, and I think I'm getting better. Well, then lo and behold, I just get home and then, you know, she would bring up how I failed in that same area just recently. I go, man, I thought I was getting better. You know, so what happens is the fact that sometimes, you know, we need to, you know, if somebody's trying or that we know that we're trying to deal with an issue in our marriage or in our relationship with somebody, you know, there's going to be mess ups, right? Somebody's going to say it again or do it again, you know, and they may not mean to, you know, so try to know that we need to maybe extend them a little bit of grace just to kind of keep the ball going down the road, kicking the can down the road a little bit farther. You know, because sometimes what happens is we bring them up. So three things that we need to consider is what we say, what we think we said, and what others think we said. Because a lot of times they're three different things. Because we say something, in our mind we think we said it properly, but then we see something and the people's face changes. I must not have said that right. Have you ever had somebody say come up to you and say, wow, have you lost weight? Then in the back of your mind you think, huh, did you think I was fat? See how they took it wrong? Or maybe you're in the deal saying, I really like what you're wearing today. Did you hate what I had on yesterday? You see how we take stuff kind of wrong sometimes? And then sometimes you might say, I really like this car better than your old piece of junk you used to drive. Then you tell them, this is a loaner. My car's in the shop. Right? Sometimes, you know, it's just the message that we're sending. It can be misunderstood and cause problems. So if we're going to try to restore and to heal this relationship, you know, we need to find common ground. What's some common ground that you and I can do? You know, what's always good that we've always known is set up a meal together, a family meal, maybe once or twice a week. Maybe you live and you're busy and you're just so busy you can't really, you know, get together, but you got to try to make some priorities and, you know, set up some family meal nights and, you know, because the guy's got to eat, right? You're going to eat. So just sit down together, not in front of the TV, but sit down at the table and just kind of maybe try to have a little discussion. And, you know, mistake I make is sometimes, you know, I ask questions to try to get the conversation going and the kids kind of feel like I'm grilling them. You know, I have to work on that. You know, I know that's where I make a mistake. You know, because, you know, just trying to make conversation and, you know, they think I'm giving them the, you know, I'm trying to inquire or, you know, quiz about them, what's going on. Next, you know, as we do that, as we do the fun, and then do some fun stuff together. What's some fun stuff that you can do together? You know, try to find something that you can do, whatever it may be. And remember, parents, this is what happens. You know, we have work stress, right? You go to work, you come home tired, and all of a sudden, over a process of time, that makes us no fun, right? We've all been no fun, aren't we? I mean, we can just admit that. Just no fun. I am no fun. So we need to think about that. You know, what's the bigger picture? What is it I need to do to try to restore this family relationship and create this atmosphere? Because that's what it is. You know, a lot of restaurants, you go into them. Have you ever walked into one? And you just, the atmosphere and the ambience, ugh, just wasn't there. Well, then you go into the, the one across the street, and you walk in, ooh, this feels nice. You know, I like this. Different atmosphere. They might serve the same food. So we need to learn how to create some sort of atmosphere. Now, this is one that's going to make it a little more difficult, and we got to be a little aware of it, is make negative communication illegal. Make negative communication illegal. Every time somebody says a negative statement, make them say five things nice to the other person. That'll make them quit. Now, my wife, when she was growing up, I can't remember the whole story, but her dad used to make them, if they got mad at each other and got in a fight, he would make them go up and hug the other person. And what?
And kiss.
Oh, and kiss?
Yeah, that deterred you real fast.
Yeah. So they'd have to hug and kiss their brother or sister, you know, to keep the strife out of the home. So they didn't like that, so they quit. Now, here's a hard one, too, is realize that you can't control other people. This is tough, right? Especially as a parent. You know the mistakes you've made in life, right? You know where, what's a good road, what's a bad road. Now, sometimes there comes a time where, you know, we try to warn our kids about this and that, but they're their own person. That's hard to handle, ain't it? As they grow up, they're their own personality, they're their own person, and they're going to make some mistakes. Now, yes, we can try to tell them different things, but if you try to control them, they will rebel. That's just the way it is. People's wired that way. That spirit of rebellion. And I think we went into that last week. So lastly, how to fix this thing. The idea or the thing that we need to remember is to keep your focus. You know, we're the adult here. Sometimes we don't act like one, right? You know what some of the things we do. And this is going to tie into a little bit of what I said a moment ago. As we keep our focus, is focus on the present and the future. Notice I left an area out. That's the past. Because this is the biggest mistake you and I make in any kind of relationship is when, now, if you're in a situation, I'm not talking about being abused or things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about normal conflict, you know, is kind of what I'm trying to fix here. If there's other problems, then, you know, that's a different story in itself. But primarily, you know, we need to focus on the present and the future of our relationships if we're going to try to heal them and try to get to the place that we need to be. Because sometimes that communication gets misunderstood. I just read a little illustration. I think it was J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, as he was communicating. They were all trying to impress him, all the underlings in his office and things. And one of them thought, wow, we can save a lot of money if I change the paper to a smaller size and we'll save, you know, all this kind of money. So they changed it. And then when they printed stuff out, you know, the writing was too close to the edge of the paper. So J. Edgar Hoover took a pencil and wrote on the paper, "Watch the borders." Well, then he passed it back. Well, for 2 weeks, the FBI watched the Canadian and the Mexican border because the communication was broken. They thought he meant watch the borders. He meant watch the borders on the paper so it's not so close to the edge. And see, that's what happens when we miscommunicate and misunderstand each other. So we need to forget that negative past and just put it behind us because nobody here is perfect. I know I'm not, and that mistakes have been made. And when we hold on to that negative past, we're never going to have a future. Never. Because that's always going to come up, the problems that we have. And there comes a time in our life, in our walk, in our relationship with God, that we're going to have to grow up and just be able to say, man, I put that behind me. I don't want to hold on to that no more. It's like an anchor holding me back in life. How many has ever had to drag something heavy around? I mean, how would you like to just drag that around all the time? And that's what that unforgiveness is. But the good news is Jesus can set us free from that. He can take that pain. He took it to the cross, and if we give it to Him, He'll be able to heal us. And if we keep holding on to that hurt, it's going to hurt our relationships. So finally, if God... Now, here's the good news, is the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and that as God comes into our life and starts to do things, He may reveal to us things that we need to let go of. You know, I remember when my kids came along, something started to irritate me. And then I remembered it was something from my childhood. God revealed that to me. And I was able to say, God, you know, I didn't know I was holding on to that. I asked God to heal me and He took it away. But see, that's the good news of being a Christian, is that we're not in this alone, that God is with us and He can help us every step of the way, and how important that is. This is something that reminds me is that, you know, I think we've all read that God forgives and forgets. I like that scripture that says, as far as the east is from the west, He separates our sins from us. They never touch. Think about it. If God, in His infinite wisdom and who knows everything, chooses to forgive and to forget, who do we think we are? If we choose to hold on and not forget. Right? You know, we need to let go. Just let go and let God do it in our lives. Be aware that not everybody sees things the same. Even if you've been married for a long time, you've been married 30 years, my wife and I have. We've grown similar in some areas, but still we're different. We just look at things differently sometimes, and that's just the way it is. You know, and I want her in my life, and I think she wants me in her life. So we have to learn that, hey, it's either all or nothing, man. I can either, she can kick me to the curb, or I can kick her to the curb, or I can learn to say, hey, we're just a little different on this. That's all right. Difference, just different. And that's good. That way you cover all the bases. And always, this is kind of an eye-opener for me. Just because you live under the same roof doesn't mean you have a relationship. Think about it. Just because you live under the same roof. We like to think, wow, we're all a family. We're under the same, we got a roof over our head. We're in the same proximity together. But that doesn't mean we have a relationship. Relationships are total different things. People can coexist together, but still not interact with each other in a healthy way in which God wants us to do. And we need to remember that. In closing, remember, fixing broken things takes time. It's easy to start something new, but if you're going to remodel your family, and don't try to fix it all in one day, either they'll kill you or you'll kill them, right? Let it grow a little bit. You know, maybe as a leader, maybe you just need to humble yourself just to get the ball rolling. You know, say, hey, I haven't been the best parent, or I haven't been the best son or daughter to our parents. You know, I apologize. You know, humble yourself. Be surprised what humility, what doors that open. Because what I like to say is the fact that when God says if we humble ourselves, what happens? God exalts us, right? So maybe you're in a situation where your relationship needs turned around. And God is the only one that can fix it. And that's why we cry out to Him. I just wanted to throw these things out today. Just food for thought, something to think about. Maybe it's not about condemnation, about being a bad parent or being a bad son or daughter. It's just about having truth revealed to us, because truth will set us free. Amen. And I want to be free, and I hope you do too. Let's pray.